day forecast bring black tall rains and hellfire. While hound picked handle his kid gloves till the DNC. The halibut not attaché cases are useless. While Scotch gold Macintoshes shall be carbonized.
I love food. I love everything about it. From the way that it's prepared, to the way that it's presented on the plate, to the way each bite tastes in my mouth, and even the way different foods are paired with others to create this fantastic experience. I wasn't always this way. There was this time when it didn't matter to me, you know, how I got my food. I really didn't care a whole lot about what it looked like, or the attention to detail given in the prep, or how fresh the ingredients were, stuff like that. I just cared that it tasted good, and that I got a good, quick food fix when I wanted it.
You know, often our spiritual lives are a lot like that too. We're so hungry to be fed something of substance, but we go looking for it in a fast food way, and we're never quite satisfied. 2,000 years ago, Jesus spoke to his disciples in this intimate conversation that today we call the Beatitudes. And in those, he revealed to them a new way to live, or this radical kingdom, the way to think and to live and to just be. And in this manifesto, he called his followers to unleash what he called the God flavors into all the earth, being a beautiful seasoning that makes everything else better.
These Beatitudes were really radical at the time, and they're still radical today. In the first three verses of the Beatitudes, Jesus lays out the groundwork for this countercultural lifestyle. He calls his followers to let go of their own roadmap for their lives and to give themselves away. It was about emptying ourselves of our self-focused ambition and a call to a lifestyle centered around the needs of others instead of our own needs. This giving away of ourselves, becoming poor in spirit, this led people to go through that in a period of mourning the loss of what could have been, and left them in a humble state, recognizing that, you know what, we are all in this together. We are all broken and in need. True meekness of spirit.
So we then come to this verse that says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, God has created this hunger within us, this thirst within us for righteousness. And I know that's a really big word, but it really just means that we have to have a hunger to be more and more like the people that God created us to be and have communion with God. And it's a natural desire that we all have, just like we all have a natural desire to eat.
Every human experiences this, regardless of where they're from or how much money they make or what their first language is or what life decisions they made in the past or even what baseball team they root for. They all share something in common. And that is something that's really primitive, but I think it's hardwired into us, hardwired into our bodies, and that is this hunger and thirst. Hunger alerts us that our body needs something to eat, and thirst alerts us that our bodies need something to drink. It's a biological reaction.
You see, that's how we were designed. And in the same way, God's designed us with a spiritual appetite, this insatiable hunger and thirst to know him, to be like him, to see as he sees, and to think as he thinks.
We all have that primal instinct, and its purpose is to provoke us to action. When we're starving, our bodies are screaming, "Feed me!" And when we're thirsty, our bodies are screaming, "Give me something to drink!" You know, it's like when you hear those cries, we're prompted to do something about it. We all get hungry, but we all get thirsty. And it extends to all people. But a key factor we have to consider, how we respond to that hunger.
We've become a fast food culture. We get hungry, so what do to feed ourselves? Well, we jump in the car and we run through the drive-thru at our local fast food restaurant. There's a huge contrast in so many ways in preparing food and serving it between this fast food restaurant and a nice sit-down restaurant. In a fast food restaurant, the food's prepared quickly, and no one really cares about the experience of prepping the food. It's all more about the speed and efficiency of getting it done. The emphasis is on keeping prices down and moving a lot of food quickly, and there's just very little regard to nutritional content or using the very best ingredients, other than what it takes to meet the bare minimum requirements. The delivery is a mass-produced, simple, unattractive packaging aimed simply to house the cheap, quickly made food, and the portion sizes usually are, well, a one-size-fits-all approach, except that the portion sizes are way too big. And it's no surprise that those who feed themselves mainly with this fast food diet are unhealthy and often overweight.
This contrasts with a nice restaurant. I love going to a nice restaurant because there's so much attention put into the details of even the smallest of things. These restaurants care about the entire experience. The food is prepared slowly. The chef spends a great deal of time thinking through how the flavors complement one another, strategically choosing what to serve together. The chef and the restaurant staff are well versed on what food and wines pair together well to truly enhance the subtle nuances of the flavor of each item they serve. When was the last time you were at Burger King and they suggested you get a Diet Sprite with your Whopper because it enhances the flavor of the beef? I love in a nice restaurant how there's so much attention paid to delivery. The chef creates a work of art as he considers the presentation on the plate. And he drizzles sauces and puts garnish on the plate like it's a fine painting or a sculpture. Each plate says something about the delicious food it contains. The table is set even in a certain way. Even the order of what food comes out when. And it's all done with this high degree of intentionality in order to create this experience that makes the customer eager to enjoy every single thing they experience. And the portions are delivered in manageable, less gluttonous sizes, forcing customers to slow down, enjoy life, and savor the flavor.
Most of us treat our spiritual lives like a fast food restaurant. We feel like we need a quick fix, so we go to church, or we do a quick glance at our Bible, or we listen to Joel Osteen on TV. And it's really all for the immediacy of helping us feel better in this short moment. And we're in it like this sprint, and then we get busy, and we forget about God. And soon, because there's no nutritional content in our spiritual food, we're hungry again, and we're spiritually fat. Many years ago, I was at this place in life where I wasn't working in a church, and honestly, I was trying to figure out whether I even wanted church to be a part of my life. And so I started studying the Bible on my own, and I began to amass all this sort of Bible knowledge, and I knew all kinds of info and all the right things to say, and I could recite scriptures and facts like nobody else. And so one day my friend took me to this restaurant, and he looked in my eyes and he had this hard conversation with me. He said these hard words, "Larry, you're getting spiritually fat." And I remember laughing at the time because I'd never heard anything like that, spiritually fat. I don't even know what that means. And so he said, "You know, you've been studying and amassing all of this knowledge, but you're not doing anything with it." You see, I wasn't allowing it to help me grow, and I wasn't using it to help anyone else on their journey either. I was putting on these spiritual pounds, and I started feeling really great about myself. But the problem is, I was hungry for the wrong type of food. I wanted this fast food, quick add stuff, not the slow down, let God transform me food. We all often find ourselves unable to be satisfied by anything other than junk, than fast food, and it builds this body that's fat and immobile and unable to be used for the real things that God wants to use us for.
Jesus said, "Hunger and thirst for righteousness." This is really embodying God's order, His plan for all humanity, starting with ourselves. living a right kind of life, aligned with his purposes, with no selfish gain whatsoever, but rather living to act in a way that reflects the true nature of God to all those we meet and all those we come to know. And when we really pour out our lives, empty ourselves of our selfish ambition, our self-centeredness, we begin to long for the good food that is God's righteousness, his truth, his right way to live. And the truth is, you just can't get that from a fast food experience.
I think the God life is, it's a lot like a nice restaurant. It's slowly taking the time to get to know God and feeding ourselves slowly, savoring the flavor, consuming slowly, taking in each bite and pausing to reflect and savor as we encounter the words of God. And we see in the scriptures a model for all followers of Jesus. Ezekiel is told, "Son of man, eat what you see. Eat this book. Then go and speak to the family of Israel." The scriptures are saying that the words of God are food for the soul. And that's how we achieve righteousness. It's how we end up living in the way that God wants us to. We eat the book. We consume God's words. And what happens is they begin to transform us and to fill us from the inside.
And I think this is something we have to train our bodies to want. You know, it's something that I think it takes effort to convince our bodies that this wholesome, healthy food is actually better than the junk that we're used to. If you've ever tried to wean yourself from fast food and eat only healthy, good foods, you know that at first it tastes kind of bland and boring. But over time, we start enjoying it. We even start craving it because our bodies realize that it's actually good for us. And as we replace our old way of thinking with this new way of seeing something in us, it shifts. We start radically loving and extending compassion and mercy toward others. It just becomes second nature to us. We cleanse our palate and experience new flavors we've never dreamed of before. We have to allow our metabolism and our tastes to adjust, but it takes time. It's a transformation that doesn't happen immediately. It doesn't just happen overnight.
You know, eating in a nice restaurant, it's more expensive, and there's a reason why. It's also less convenient. We have to drive someplace and wait to get a table, and well, the food is not just sitting pre-prepared in these little bins, ready to eat. We have to wait. But what we end up with is something fantastic. It's something we can take our time and savor the flavors and enjoy it more. We take our time and we feed ourselves the way we were designed to be fed. And the truth is, you don't have to go to a nice restaurant to do that. You can eat like that at home as well. All you have to do is slow down and buy good foods with fresh ingredients and enjoy fixing a meal with those you love and enjoy every eating experience to the fullest.
It takes more of an investment from us. It's not easy. It takes time and resources, but anyone who's done the work to eat well will absolutely tell you that it's worth it in the long run.
The last part of this scripture shows what happens when people hunger and thirst for righteousness and begin to feed themselves properly. It's really amazing. Jesus says, "Blessed, for they shall be filled." And the word used for filled here in the scripture is really a graphic word that's also used for fattening animals. And it sort of has this meaning of like being stuffed. And we simply empty ourselves of the desire to live for me and myself and I. We begin to hunger for the things of God. He stuffs us so full. We become more and more and more like him. And we bring the God flavors of seasoning to the world around us.
Righteousness is living every moment the way that God desires and doing the things he uniquely asks us to do. Jesus said in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of the one that sent me." What's amazing about this is that the idea of being filled really conveys that it's a food that goes on and on and on. The more we follow God and do his will, the more we long for him, and the more we are satisfied.
You know, I don't think it's any mistake that Jesus shared a meal with his disciples the night he was betrayed. And that's something that he's asked us to do also, in remembrance of him. He understood that feasting and drinking of him was the only way to, well, to not only be filled in this life, but also to for us to bring out the God flavors within us and also around us, to leave a good taste with others and to be givers and not just consumers. Hungering and thirsting for him was something he knew would be built in, but he wanted us to regularly gather around the table and to see what he had for us over the long haul, to savor the flavor.
Another word we use for communion is Eucharist. The word Eucharist comes from the Greek word Eucharisteo, which means to be grateful or to give thanks. Have you ever heard someone come back from a trip to a third world country and say something like, wow, those people out there, they have nothing compared to us, but within, they have so much joy. When we are empty, when we have nothing, there is a deep sense of gratitude that grounds us in the reality that everything we have is a gift. And at the communion table, we are offered an opportunity to bring forward our true hunger and our true thirst, to join with Christ in this divine brokenness that leaves us in a place of deep understanding. Understanding that our rich satisfaction in life comes not from bread alone, but from God himself. And that those who hunger and thirst for God, well, his promise says that their hunger and their thirst will be filled.